Good to be in Toronto. Good to see all of you out in person. It's always wonderful to have this type of fellowship. Great. The topic of the sermon today will be full surrender. And I start with a story. This is about one of the greatest army generals ever lived, Alexander the Great. So Alexander the Great, who was carrying his triumphant military campaign into a certain city, the city was strongly fortified. It was walled. Alexander approached the city and demanded to see the king and set out his terms of surrender. The king laughed at him and said, "Why should I surrender to you? You can't do us any harm. We can then endure any siege." Alexander said to the king, "I want you to watch this. Nearby, within sight of the city wall, there was a sheer cliff. He ordered his men to line up in single file and to march towards the cliff. The city's citizens watched with horrified fascination as one by one Alexander's great army men march over the edge of the cliff and plunge to their death. After several men had obeyed his orders, he commanded them to halt. Then he called his troops back to his side and stood silently before the city. The effect of the citizens and the king, on the effects on the citizens and the king, was stunning. From spelled, bound silence, they moved to absolute terror. They realized they had no walls thick enough, no defense strong enough to protect themselves against that kind of commitment, and that kind of devotion. Spontaneously, they rushed through the gates to surrender themselves to Alexander the Great. Full surrender is what I'd like us to focus on for the next 40 minutes or so. And this illustration serves to remind us as to what is required of us when we claim to submit and to surrender ourselves to the Almighty. I'm pretty sure that most of us realize by now that we do stray from time to time. If God is our commander, he's greater than Alexander the Great. And when he gives his command, we should not be going our own way, if in doubting. Look, that man's command was so powerful that soldiers were marching to their death with no flinch. That's the commandment. God does have a mission, a purpose. And the body of Christ exists to carry out that. And each and every one of us, we call ourselves at times soldiers of the army, soldiers of the cross, soldiers of Jesus Christ. We should have the same attitude as Alexander's soldier. What God says we will do, no question asked. Full surrender to his will. The fall holidays, brethren, are just weeks away. And it's one of the reasons why we need to ensure that we are at this point, that we have that heart of full surrender to His will. The days we are living in clearly demonstrates that half and half won't do it. Half service won't cut it. If we're not fully committed in the days ahead and the years ahead, I'm afraid we may just run out of what it takes to endure to the end. Now, I mentioned what the Lord requires of us in terms of obedience to truth. And I want us to quickly look at Israel's example, as it's always the place to learn. It was set up for. And so if we turn to Exodus 19, verse 5, we will see a command given. Now God says, talking to the people, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." This is where I see God request from all his people obedience. To obey his voice. To keep his covenant. Then we will be that peculiar treasure unto him above all people. If we should try to summarize what God requires in terms of the commandments given, we see two things immediately after we make this request. First, he gave the Ten Commandments. In fact, he spoke it. This is a lasting and everlasting will to be observed as long as we are in the human form. All ten of them, including the Saturday Sabbath. Because there are many Christians, you know, who claim to be following the will of God, but when it comes to the Sabbath, it's not Saturday. And it's as obedient, fully surrendered people, we have no choice but to make it known to all that the true Sabbath is Saturday. On today's calendar, not any other day. So that tells us that there are many right now in the Christian world who are not surrendering fully to God's will and God's way. The duty of the church is to obey God first of all, and to warn all people what God has in store for those who disobey. This is a time when we have to all be caught up with God in the spiritual realm, hearing from him daily, getting directions from him daily, and following his leading, because he always has something for us to hear. In addition to giving the Ten Commandments that all Israel should obey at the inauguration of the assembly, God also gave the Book of the Covenants. And that's where you find all the ordinances, the regulations, All that God wants man to do, he puts down in that book. And that in that covenant, book of the covenant that was sealed by Moses with the blood, you find the commandment to keep the annual holy days. Three times a year, Israel was expected to have the pilgrimage to keep the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and all the fall holidays. So that is what God has put in his will for mankind to obey from the inaugural time of the body of Christ, and it continues today. The church has a mandate to proclaim to the world the imminent personal return of Jesus Christ. He will come and he will take over the governments of this world, and he shall reign for 1,000 years. And we do not take this lightly, brethren. With all the politics that is going on, we know that one day, according to Daniel, that the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. He will come and take over all the kingdoms of this world. We, brethren, are citizens of the kingdom to come, and we will ever proclaim that. We will surrender fully to all the laws of the kingdom to come, and that is why we do not live according to the laws of this present age. We proclaim to the world, whether or not you want to believe, but there will be a resurrection of the dead. Those who have done good to eternal life, and those who have done evil to damnation. We will echo that message in full surrender of our commander, because God wants the world to know there is a good news. We will also continue to let the world know at this time that there will be a final judgment. We have decayed morally as a global community. And like anything else, you know, things decay first slowly and then it just get real rotten. And I think that's what we're seeing in society right now. Morally, total rottenness being accepted and promoted as norms. As children of the kingdom, we'll have none of it, and we will not condone with it, and we will ever stand in the place where we can defend the laws of our God, our King, who has set us here for that express purpose. And just to reiterate, our commander would want us to let the world know that the eternal kingdom of God will be established. So after all this confusion, when all of this is over, the earth will experience a utopian society that no philosophy, ideology, society has so far achieved. And that's our hope. And we are sure that it's going to happen. The noise will come to a halt. The confusion will be done. All that is prophesied will happen. And we will all have that peace. Not only for the 1,000 years. The 1,000 years is a period when we will be very busy educating the world that hasn't known Christ, hasn't yet bowed their knees. Because people will be resurrected and people will be living on the earth and they will need this eternal message of salvation. It's our opportunity as well as our responsibility to absorb this message to its fullest, fully surrender ourselves to the gospel and to be prepared not only to speak it now, but in the future. Brethren, let's look at Deuteronomy 10:12, because God requires something else of us, and that is to walk humbly with him. Deuteronomy 10:12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But fear the Lord thy God, and talk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. So the Lord wants us to fear him. Did those soldiers fear Alexander the Great? And this fear is a mixture. It's not just that you're afraid of him, but reverent respect can get to that point where there's a mixture of love and fear that you don't want to take any chances. God wants us to have that level of fear for him, great respect and love for his holy, high position, and we are expected to walk humbly before him. Love him. Serve the Lord with all our hearts and with all our soul. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for good. Verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's. Thy God, the earth also, and all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. So not only should we love and fear God, but we must always recognize that God loves us and that he chose. It was by choice that he called Israel, and also he calls us by his choosing, not an accident. He didn't just stumble in here. Called, chosen by God. And that is important. So we are asked, therefore, to go ahead and circumcise the foreskin of our heart. No more hard-heartedness. Let's humble ourselves. Let's humble ourselves before the Almighty God. Whatever he says, let us do it. However hard it seems, let us do his will. Micah 6:8 echo the same message. Verse that I love from a youth. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God is calling us, brethren, to be in full surrender to his will. We are getting accustomed to a point to lose some of our personal rights and privileges. And I think we can use that as a measure that, yes, there are rights and privileges that we think we have against God's will. We go against his judgment. We make things personal and what we like and what we want. And, you know, we try to sometimes make things want to suit what we want God to have of us. In other words, we create our own image, our own religion sometimes in a personal way. So we're not really walking the way God wants us to walk. We are walking the way we want God want us to walk. Does that make sense? So if God says, for example, that, look, when it comes to Sabbath keeping, I don't want you to do X, Y, Z. Okay, God has his principles very clear. And you say, you know, God says that, but you know, I am not going to do exactly what God says. I'm going to tailor it to suit me. Brethren, the truth is sometimes we do these things. We don't fully surrender ourselves to God's will. Say, God says that point. We tend sometimes to, you know, notch it down a little bit so that we can be comfortable walking with God the way we want to walk with God. But the truth is, the excellent, majestic, almighty that he is will not tolerate that. We can have all the fun we want. We can enjoy the walk we want. But when the final assessment comes, God is the one who will determine who inherit eternal life and who won't. I would admonish us all not to take any chances with this great commander, but to humble ourselves and to carry out his will exactly the way he requires that we carry out his will. As we talk of full surrender, brethren, I want us to look at what Jesus requires when he was here, how he expressed his desire for full surrender. And if we turn to Luke 14 from verse 25, we're going to see how Jesus framed it. Luke 14:25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's very hard. We all want to be God's disciple, and we want to know that, you know, just what we know about Jesus and his disciples, they were very close. They were friends. You will find sometime them even leaning on Jesus. That's God in, you know, walking as man. And his words, his teaching, his ways were so attractive, so powerful, that those who choose to follow him would think that, look, with the words that you have, Master, we have nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life. And they loved it. But to be his disciple, he required that the relationship with him and the teachings of the kingdom of God be up and above the relationship you have with your family. And that can be hard, can be challenging, but it's not a new idea, really. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapters 13, and we will see where God said the same thing to Israel. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or the son of thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eyes pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. This commandment, you know, the thing is in the under that old covenant, the Old Testament period there, most things were life and death. And if you see your brother steal, it's against the commandment of the Lord. Now, God is saying to his children, whether it's a brother, sister, mother, whoever it be, you see one of them do something like this, don't hide it. You need to speak up against them because they go against the commandments of the Lord. I think many then had the difficult decision to see their family members perish. The sins of their brothers or sisters. Moses had a tough job. And he had to oversee some of these stonings because Israel was required to walk in strict obedience to the commandments. And God would be speaking to Moses constantly, helping him to judge the children of Israel. This is the way to walk. This is the way to do things. But if they divert, you shall die. And many died. So to love the Lord above your brothers and your sisters and your husbands and your wives is not really new, but Jesus was just reiterating it that, look, this is how it goes. God's will comes first. And if someone is going to entice you to go against God's will, shun them, however close they are. But you surrender yourself fully to the Almighty and to his dictates. That's the only way you can be considered fit for the kingdom, fit to be one of my disciples. There are many who followed Jesus. Some because, you know, he had the ability to turn like the five loaves to feed the multitude. The Bible does say that there are some who follow just for the fish and bread. There are many reasons why many of us may choose to be a part of the family of God. But there comes a time when God is going to look at each of us and say, why are you here? If you do not love your families above my will, and let's just not look now as the person, but the will of God that you should love so much. The person is great, but let's define it by his will. You need to be to want to love his will and want to conform to his will to that point where no family member will come between you and God. Jesus said in Matthew 10, okay, read Matthew 10, 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Oh, that's just basically summarizing what we were saying. So if you love father, that's Matthew 10:37. If you love father or mother more than God, And if you love it, your son or daughter more than you love God, then you're not worthy of it. He would not consider you to be qualified. You have not fully surrendered your will to him. You love your family members more. I'm emphasizing this because I know challenging times are ahead and we have to make decisions. So bear these words in mind. John 12, 25. Jesus makes another statement here. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Let's keep this word in mind as we think of full surrender. You know, I happen to be talking to some members of the body, and with all that's going on, the question of persecution comes up. And some would say, oh, no. That's not for me. God knows that I don't have the heart to face those things. It's not, and it won't be easy to convince anyone that it's worth it. But individuals who are called by God and filled with the Holy Spirit will not question whether they will obey God's will or the will of man when they are tested. We don't know if these things will happen in our lifetime, as I said last time. But what if it does, the way things are moving? The problem with jobs. If you're asked to do something that is against the will of God, like you, as of now, you have to show up to work on Saturday, otherwise you're going to lose your job. You have mortgage to pay. You have all these responsibilities. Times are hard, and will be harder with all where the economy is, you know, whole system is going. For some, it will be harder. For some, it may be better. And you have this job that you depend on, and you're asked now to break God's holy commandment, which he instructs you, don't. And you have to make that choice. Men will put their chest up and say, look, I have to provide for my family. That comes first. And it would sound great and noble. I'm not going to let my family starve. So this is where the choice, you see how the choice comes in easily and clearly? You now choose family over God. And God is saying, no, full surrender means you don't do that. You keep his will in mind. Unlike the many saints of old who have to give up their life. Like the examples we see of the great men of faith. I love the three Hebrew boys when they say, whether or not God deliver us, we're not going to bow down and serve you, Mr. King. Because God's will is priority, and they are fully surrendered, and they are not going against any God's will in any way, shape, or form to please mankind. You know something? If God will that the family survive, you walk out of that job not knowing how you're going to pay the bill the next 2 weeks, and God provide a way. Because we also know that he's a way maker. And we have to trust him sometimes to that point where we say, Lord, I am giving up this for you, and now I want you to come through with for me. But suppose God choose that he's not going to come through for you and that you have to suffer hunger and you have to see your children suffer and die just because you want to do his will. Will you choose his will over the circumstances? Or are you going to go along with the crowd so that you can keep life going for a while? My brethren, I'm at the point right now where God's will comes first. And Jesus saying, he that loveth his life shall lose it, test can come simply like that, that you choose to not to, you choose to go against God's will to preserve life, and maybe the next day you lose your life and your whole family. And you know what you miss out, just miss out on? Your opportunity of eternal life. Your years of service to God is gone because you choose at that moment not to stick to the plan. You love your life on earth so much that you can't afford to exchange it. But if you, for the kingdom of heaven's sake, give up this life, you will have eternal life. And that's a message I'd like everyone to just have right at the forefront of their mind, that when the hard time comes, we are willing to give up our life because it's temporary, and stick to God's will, which is eternal. And that, yes, that utopian kingdom is coming. We're already registered as citizens. We are pre-registered, you know. We have our place booked. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We won't have to be lining up to see if there's space there. We are called, chosen, and God is preparing us for his great kingdom to come. You know, as the world reel and turn with all that is happening around us. I mean, I don't know if you can cope with all the news, but this to me is like Job time. Sometimes I say, okay, look, maybe I'm getting too much news. You start to hear about Afghanistan, and then you hear about the flood here, and then you hear about the fire here, and then you say, what's going on? And then so many people died just the other day, and before that news is soaked in, you hear another group of people die here. What's going on? Oh my goodness. Jesus continued to speak to us. John 12, 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Brethren, this is it when it comes to full surrender. Bear in mind the will of God. Search. Get it. Absorb it. Live it, walk it. God's will must be done in our lives. And nothing will come in between. We're fully surrendered. So, feast coming up. We have an opportunity to reflect on the coming of Christ, the trumpet, the great trumpet sound. And yes, the resurrection, the dead in Christ shall rise, and all of that. We have an opportunity to renew our faith as we go through these things year by year. That is why God would have it like that, that we do not stray. We keep our focus. And the opportunity I love when it comes to preparation is the atonement. Because, you know, we are just prone to sin and mistakes and all of that. And when the atonement comes, I call it the reset. This year, I would consider it a great reset. Wipe out all the past sin, sinful thoughts, sinful action, the ways that have kept in our personalities that are not godly, you know, the things that, the flaws that we cultivate, that we know them. Let's have a great reset this year and be prepared for marching orders from our God. Brethren, when it comes to full surrender, one passage that moves me, and hope it has the same effect on you, Matthew 19:27-29. before I do that, I'm going to just look at one good example of full surrender, which I also like. And that is Mark 12:43. Just hold Matthew 19 there for a little bit. But look at the attitude of this woman. Mark 12:43. And there came a poor widow. And she threw in her two mites, which make a farthing. And he called him unto his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want did cast all that she had, even all her living. You know what I like about that? The total emptying of self. She was old and she just had these two mites. She knows God's will to give an offering. She come and say, Lord, it's your will. I'm going to give your offering, and gives all that she has. It moves me every time, because this is a great example of people who can surrender material things for the will of God, for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And it's a strong lesson that we can learn as to the attitudes we need to have, so we can be properly shaped and ready for the kingdom to come. So back to Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he makes this statement, verse 29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Is there a reward, brethren? Is there a real reward for full surrender? Did Jesus leave anything out here? Let's just bear these things in mind. We are complying now to many regulations. And it's in the interest of the powers that be to inflict whatever measures, however tormenting it be, on us, on the mass, so that what they want to accomplish can be accomplished. I don't know how much, you know, we want to just trust what's going on, trust all the government, that whatever they say is true and their intentions are good. Even if they have good intentions, sometimes the result is not all good. But whatever they choose to do, we have to comply. And we may, sometimes they may put things in place, you know, that are against our faith, against our belief. And those are the times we have to choose between God's will and man's will. I'm committed, brethren, to the full surrender. Now, wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll do his will no matter what. And I would like to stand with those martyrs of old. I'd like to stand with all the strong believers throughout the ages The word of God is what matters, and not the will of man. God bless you.